It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Milwaukee, suspected electrical fires disproportionately affect low-income Black renters.
A 2021 investigation by the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel found that the city's most impoverished zip code has electrical fires at 5 times the rate of the rest of the city.
Now, a Milwaukee nonprofit organization has stepped in to try to solve this problem.
Ezekiel Hope is repairing electrical code violations in dozens of homes with dangerous faulty electrical wiring in the city, and they hope to secure more grants to continue that work.
Master electrician Jim Gaylard is vice president and electrical trainer at Ezekiel Hope. That's an organization training people in the skilled trades and giving opportunities to minority contractors. Jim, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Can you acquaint us with Ezekiel Hope and the mission of your work?
Okay, Ezekiel Hope is a program where we try to engage more minority contractors. We try to engage people of the communities that we work in. I use abandoned foreclosed properties as a classroom, getting people underserved that haven't had the opportunity to be in the trades to give them a chance to see what it looks like, feels like, and learn how to get into the electrical trades. And once we rehab the house, we now they got a brand new furbished house, and we try to sell it to a first-time home buyer to help them create generational wealth.
So your apprentices are not just walking in your shoes, but they're seeing homes that are very much at risk for a fire. What are you seeing?
Well, we see a lot of things that I didn't think of when I became an electrician. Number one, there are not enough electricians, Black and brown, or not enough electricians in these underserved communities. So I see a lot of handyman work where someone says they know a little bit about electrical work. So we see a lot of things. Over the years, we got some of the oldest housing stock in the United States that when they built these houses in the 1890s, 1930s, and 1950s even, they didn't count on microwaves, air fryers, electric dryers, electric stoves, or any of that type thing, air conditioners. So the wiring has been overused for over 50 years. We'll open up a box and some of the wires will just start crumbling in your hands. We've ran into knob and tube wiring. We've run into wiring that has gas lines running to it from the old gas lights. So it's a lot. It's a lot to take in, especially for someone who's learning a trade. They never would have thought that there was so much involved with it. But I love it.
I think the analogy that struck me that you used before, putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg, is the work that you're seeing that inferior on the electrical wiring?
It is. So there's a lot that we see that the people take for granted. Oh, the light works. You just can't use that switch up at the top of the stairs. You got to turn it on or off from down here. No, it's not wired right. Or an outlet. Well, we don't use that plug or that outlet or that switch because if you turn it on, then something blows downstairs. We have to go reset it. Well, there's a problem that needs to be addressed. So, yeah, we see a lot of things that are not good at all, and it puts people in harm's way.
What strikes me about your work is that you're not just making homes safer and livable, but you're also changing people's lives at the same time as you teach and share this work on the road to being an electrician. Can you talk about the changes you've seen in the people you've been mentoring?
Thank you for bringing that up, because that is really a passion of mine. It was hard for me to become an electrician, but I was really determined, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, because all of the hoops that I had to jump through and all of the barriers that were placed in front of me made me better at what I do, and it made me be able to tell other people what to look out for and how to set their game and their professionalism at such a high level that no one can bring them down from it. I told Mayor Barrett a few years back a list of people that I had at that time, and I think this was like 2012 to 14, somewhere around there. And on the list of about 84 of my trainees at that time, now it's over 400 or 500, but that list of 80 people, at least 75 of them were ex-felons. and they were all staying out of jail. They were all doing positive things. One of them actually started with me from the House of Correction, worked with me, helped me run the company. Now we fast forward 4 years, only 4 years later, he's working at a major corporation, making over $40 an hour, bought one of the houses that we rehab. And since that time, he's got his family in there, got it back together, stayed out of trouble. And he's bought another house since then, is doing grill on the way to getting his master's license. And the only thing that they say, what's in it for you, Jim? The big thing in it for me is they reach down and help somebody who needs a little bit of help themselves.
Mm. That is such an incredible story, and the work is so life-changing. I wonder, you know, you and the people you're mentoring and training, you're seeing these very complex electrical problems. You're seeing code violations that you might not see in other neighborhoods. These are complex issues in these older homes. Does that mean that they are harder to fix and fix for good?
A lot of them are, because again, the people that are living in a lot of these houses that we worked in these underserved areas, they've been adding things into their house, the new innovations, but they have not had the money to upgrade the wiring. And again, the wiring has been overused for over 50 years. It's not just been used, it's been overused that long. And it's only a matter of time, most of the time, before it breaks down from, you know, the stress and the strain. It wasn't built for that. But no one really had that type of, not many of the people in these areas have that type of money. So again, they put a Band-Aid on a broken leg. And it's a blessing sometimes how things work out. We may run into a knob and tube, which is the antique wiring when they first came out past the gas light. And then we might get two or three of them in a row. Repetition is always the best teacher. So the more I can expose them to, the better prepared they are to run into anything. And the last thing I want to mention about the thing that I interact with my crew about when I'm training them is, if you got a nice fat check coming on Friday, just may not act a fool on Wednesday. He's got something to go for. You know, I want to give them a lofty goal that they can see themselves attaining. And knowing that they're a hero coming into these people's houses where we've averted fires, but it's great that we're able to do this. I love it.
Jim, we can hear your passion. And I just want to look into the future for a final question, because Ezekiel Hope has received some grant funding. How do you see Ezekiel Hope growing and evolving and being able to scale up this work?
The future, I hope we can get a warehouse type situation where I can train more people, because what we're also finding out in these communities big time is these people don't have access to black and brown electricians or electricians in their community. And I want to be a big part of changing that. I would love to get a real training center where I can simulate almost every situation. I've been in this trade for about 40 years, mm-hmm. and I've seen a lot. I'd love to see us in a training center cranking out 50 to 100 skilled, highly skilled technicians every year. That's where I hope to see us go in the future.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much for sharing this vision. Thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate getting this out.
Jim Gaylard is a master electrician and vice president of Ezekiel Hope. That's a Milwaukee nonprofit that supports low-income renters and homeowners and trains people in the skilled trades. We're talking about the risk of electrical fires in Milwaukee's poorest neighborhoods, which disproportionately affects low-income black renters. Our next guest has investigated this issue over the years. John Dietrich is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of the scale of this problem? And I know this stems back to an investigation in 2021 where you were able to go into some homes and really see the electrical wiring alongside an electrician.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we focus specifically on the zip code 53206, which is the zip code that is most impoverished in Milwaukee and predominantly a Black neighborhood. And we focused in on renters because in that particular neighborhood and in this parts of the city, renters are really beholden to landlords to be able to have their issues fixed. And what we found is that there were electrical fires that were happening at a much higher rate in those neighborhoods. Now, the data is problematic. And that's one of the things, that's one of the findings of our investigation is that there's not complete fire data and even fatal fire data. And this isn't just a problem in Milwaukee. This is a nationwide problem. The accuracy of fire data is lacking. But we found over this period of time, we identified about a dozen fires in this 3-year period that had this cause. Our indications are that there's more fires than that. Some of these were fatal. We also found that one of the fires that we found that were fatal that killed Clarence Morrell and Patricia Colston was not even in the data. And we featured that fire. So the data itself is not telling us exactly what the issue is. But the other thing we did is we wanted to go into the homes and say, how big of a risk is it? And that's where we hired a master electrician to come in. And we did a scientifically supported sample within the zip code and found that a vast majority of the homes we could extrapolate had unsafe wiring in them.
The scale of this problem, 3.5 years later, has anything changed? Have you been able to follow up with some of these homes?
Well, yes. What happened shortly after our reporting, there were landlords who stepped forward and said they wanted to make some changes, perhaps from the publicity or whatnot. But these are expensive fixes, though. And so some of the solutions to this were they fall to the landlords. And, if landlords are really interested in bottom lines and they can rent places that are unsafe, there isn't a big incentive. The incentive to do this would be the city of Milwaukee coming in and doing proactive investigation, proactive inspection. That is not allowed under state law. There's very tight restrictions that have been enacted by the state legislature on cities like Milwaukee from doing proactive inspections. They can do reactive inspections. The city of Milwaukee is still trying to find ways these years later to do that, and they've so far been stymied in that way.
And what struck me is landlords and management companies, some of them responded to you by saying, okay, yes, there is a major electrical problem, but we can't do anything until the tenant vacates, which really puts all the onus on the renter to act, to move so that the next renter can perhaps be safer and the landlord in good faith can do the fixes. What is problematic about that?
Well, it's hugely problematic because there's sort of an assumption that you have to move to have a life safety issue, fixed. And, talking to electricians, this is not something where you have to move out. What that usually indicated was a landlord or a property management company that really wanted to flip the house. Mm. They wanted to do more than just the electrical and they wanted to increase the rent. And so they wanted to increase the rent a lot. And so getting the tenant out of there and getting a new tenant who doesn't know what the old rent is one of those strategies. But it's not required. You don't have to move out of your house. If you or I had major electrical work, you don't have to move out of the house for that. But that was something that we heard from from some of the companies. I mean, the other thing that people were faced with, and we heard this repeatedly from tenants, is that they were saying, well, we know that electrical, is probably unsafe. I mean, historically, we talked to people who live in 53206 who have lived there for years and years, and they just know, you can't leave things plugged in your house, for instance, when you leave your house.
Or if it rains, you don't turn on certain light switches or something.
Exactly. Like, or children have been sort of, yes, they've been told from their parents, don't turn that on because the water trickles in. And exactly that outlet is unsafe, you know, in rain. And, but the calculation, the terrible calculation that some of these tenants have to make is that they're saying, I will take the risk with bad electrical because this place is relatively clean. There's no rodents, there's no rats or other pests in here. You know, that sort of thing. The walls have been painted in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, you know, something mm-hmm. like that, you know, but we'll take that chance because it's relatively, and that's just a terrible calculation that no tenants should have to make.
So when your investigation came out, Governor Evers called the findings gut-wrenching. Now there's an organization, Ezekiel Hope, which is really trying to do some of the free electrical work for these homes that are in jeopardy. Is there any type of motion at the state or local level to address this issue?
There really hasn't. Right now, the effort and Jim's effort on the ground to make these changes, you know, are really grassroots. We learned about Jim's work through the course of reporting this project. And when we leaned into some of the grassroots efforts that not only would help improve the condition of housing, but also help train people in the community to become electricians. Well, it's encouraging on a number of levels, but they're funded primarily through private sources. And to date, this has not been funded through government sources. And, you know, and I do recall that quote from Governor Evers, and we've not seen a big effort by the state to the bottom line is funding this. Mm. It's costly and to figure out who can pay for this work.
One thing I learned from your reporting is that just because you live in a century-old house or something older doesn't mean that your dwelling is a major fire risk. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so what we did, I appreciate that point. What we did is we looked at electrical fires in different areas where the housing, the age of the housing stock was similar. And what we found in higher demographic areas on Milwaukee's east side and a part of the Shorewood neighborhood in the suburb, they do not have the electrical fires nearly at the rate, even though the age of the housing is similar, even older in some cases than the neighborhoods in 53206 that we looked at.
John, one final note from your reporter's eyes, you've investigated this issue for years. What are you watching for next in this particular zip code and elsewhere on faulty wiring and electrical code violations?
There is still a lack of solid data that to actually come down to the cause, because that's what we found a lot of times is that the fire investigators would not definitively call an electrical fire. And so a lot of when we look through the paperwork, we could find these. So we continue to watch fires and say, are there some that are not being accurately classified as that? I mean, the other thing too, is that following up on Jim's efforts, and I'm following up with folks in City Hall and in Madison to say, you know, asking the question afresh, say, is there an effort to come up alongside what Jim's doing and his, you know, in the entities are supporting him. And particularly, is there an effort to help vulnerable renters who we found are in these dangerous situations?
John, thank you for your work. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
John Dietrich is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who's been reporting on dangerous electrical wiring in Milwaukee's poorest neighborhoods. And earlier, we heard from Milwaukee Master Electrician Jim Gaylard about training future electricians and his organization, Ezekiel Hope, that is repairing electrical wiring for free in underserved neighborhoods.